from the LaSalle Daily Tribune. Dateline, LaSalle, Illinois, May 25th, 1925. Hundreds of telephone calls flooded the LaSalle Exchange last night and this morning in acknowledgement of the splendid inaugural program which WJBC, the Hummer Furniture Company radio station, put on the air. Harry Halpin, manager of the store, said that 1,500 messages were received at their offices, and Roscoe L. Wright, manager of the Illinois Bell telephone offices, said that more than 5,000 more could not be handled because of lack of facilities. And now, fast forward 80 years.
In the amazing, almost unbelievable history of the State Farm Insurance Company.
We are standing by to bring you the news of the reported operations against the continent by the Allies.
WJBC, modern radio.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock.
I'm prepared to wait for my answer until hell freezes over.
Dr. Martin Luther King is in the Fred Young Fieldhouse.
To have the privilege of coming once more.
Something happened.
Two campers of Illinois Wesleyan.
Carrying, driving, stopping, looking, banking, winning! 81-79 Redbirds!
Hello, Americans, this is Paul Harvey, speaking for the West Side Coal and Lumber Company.
I made my mistake.
Do you have any idea how many people you've had injured?
We don't have. I don't have any idea right now. They're several.
Get the morning spirit on WJ.
Lenin was shot point blank. His shirt was red with blood.
Bodies of four family members were found late last night by Bloomington police.
Have a good Thursday, Illinois. I'll see you bright and early around here tomorrow morning.
Friends, can you say national championship? Scream it at the top of your lungs, Titans fans. Your guys have just won one.
I'm proud to vote yes.
Two planes have hit the World Trade Center in New York City.
Not much was known about WJBC's early years in LaSalle until Lee Stremlau stopped by the WJBC studios one day in 1972. He proceeded to tell Don Munson the story of the station's origin.
Some of the fellows at school said, why don't we get a group together and put some music on the air? So we used to do this, which of course was illegitimate, wasn't allowed, but it was done, and maybe this was the beginning of WJBC. Like every Sunday afternoon, we used to try this gag for 10 or 15 minutes, and we always got phone calls, put on some more, or they'd send in request numbers that the fellows would play.
The station's success piqued the interest of the owners of the Hummer Furniture Store, who bought a license and officially signed WJBC on the air. As for the call letters, WJBC...
Well, they were just assigned, and when they were assigned, we had to find some good reason for a W and a J and a BC. And I happened to have a radio shop in LaSalle at the time called Lee Stremlau's Radiola and Victrola Shop. And I happened to like good music and had many Red Seal records. And so I always used WJBC, where jazz becomes classic.
The station moved to Bloomington Normal in 1934, and with studios on both the Illinois Wesleyan and ISNU campuses, started covering local events. Among them, President Franklin Roosevelt's campaign stop in Bloomington in 1936. WJBC broadcast the speech live to listeners locally and nationally, thanks to a hookup with the CBS radio network. WJBC's Stretch Miller introduced the president and was embarrassed when he realized he actually said Franklin Eleanor Roosevelt. Eleanor laughed. Franklin began speaking to his friends in Bloomingdale.
Today, June 7th, 1939.
The earliest known recording of WJBC is from 1939's dedication of an addition to the State Farm building in downtown Bloomington.
President of the State Farm Life Insurance Company, who will supervise the actual laying cornerstone, Mr. Adley H. Rush.
Thank you, Raymond. Fellow workers, it has been the ambition of me in the creation of buildings and institutions to build upon a solid foundation.
D.J. Merle, the founder and chairman of the board of State Farm Insurance Companies. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Well, now, Mr. Merle, you as the founder, where were you born in central Illinois?
Right 9 miles east of Bloomington.
And from there, what did you do? Did you live there most of your life?
I lived there till I was 40 years old.
But when did you get on the idea of this State Farm Insurance?
Oh, When a man makes a failure of everything else, he generally goes into the insurance business.
But you were just a little bit more successful than most of those people venturing into that particular field.
Well, I was a little more lucky.
Well, you had something new, though, isn't that right, to offer?
No, the same thing, only in a different way.
In a different way, and what is that? What do you mean by that?
Oh, just my own idea of how insurance ought to be sold.
Well, it has certainly grown into something that's worldwide.
Yes, it is. Just luck.
WJBC made a splash in Bloomington Normal in the 1940s and 50s, boasting of its local news coverage with its WJBC mobile news units, hosting local actors and musicians for live performances, and offering Central Illinois listeners national programming from NBC's Blue Network, which was spun off to become the ABC Network in 1945. One of the first FM stations in Illinois, WJBC-FM, now WBNQ, signed on in 1948. But it wasn't long before television started occupying the public's time in the evening. Radio had to adjust. WJBC's Bob Lichty.
WJBC, fortunately, early on, developed a heavy presence in the sports and news area. Probably in the early 50s, WJBC began to see the potential and it was potential because advertisers would be quick to grab up these programs, these local programs.
In 1953, Fred Muxfield had the idea of putting telephone calls live on the air. Problems and Solutions survives to this day. WJBC engineers Jack Jenkins and Ted Bailey invented the endless tape cartridge, and WJBC was just gearing up.
This is WJBC, Bloomington, Normal, 12:30 on the dial. Listen in a while. Music, news, and sports, weather reports. We're as good can be on WJBC.
Let's go to the WJBC Air Mobile Unit now, and Ken Ritter.
Steve, as we're watching it from overhead, it's very easy to see that at least three-quarters of the building has been destroyed. The eastern half of the building is completely down. One local resident reported that he could see the smoke on Bloomington's west side from 5 miles outside of Bloomington on the east side.
Local news has been WJBC's most visible and audible tie to the Bloomington Normal community since the first news reports were added to the programming lineup in the 30s. But in 1965, the station stretched the limits of the technology then available to provide live, wall-to-wall coverage of the funeral of Bloomington's most famous son, Adlai Stevenson II. Don Newberg was then WJBC's news director.
We only had a limited amount of what I would call mobile units, so we had to set up a phone system where we put people in businesses, people on top of houses, on roofs of houses, and we set it up so that they could go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 as the procession moved.
Stevenson's family owned the Pantograph, which in turn owned WJBC. While he would frequently visit his hometown in his days as governor, those visits came less often during his two runs for president in the 1950s. He was then appointed by President Kennedy as U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. He died in London in July of 1965, and his body was returned to the Twin Cities for his funeral. The small Unitarian Church had only enough room for family and dignitaries such as President and Lady Bird Johnson. So WJBC decided to bring the services to the rest of the community. Newberg calls the broadcast a turning point for the station.
I think it just made us aware that we could do it, that we had the wherewithal and the know-how to accomplish something. Maybe we weren't great at it, but we could do it.
I'm traveling Route 66, and there are at least 8 trucks that belong to a firm in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that are moving along in a convoy. 3 of them have been separated from the other 5.
Longtime morning news anchor Alan Sender says management's commitment to news allowed WJBC's coverage to expand.
We had 3 reporters when I started here. I succeeded Hannah Gutman. We grew significantly over time, and as a result of that significant growth, we did what we thought was already a very good job and really took it to a superior level.
About
150 ISU students started out on the center of campus at about 7:30. They wound their way through the streets of the town, picking up manpower as they went and blocking off traffic on Main Street at one point. They say they're protesting the loss of their so-called party rights.
I think they're just trying to show that there's a lot of power, you know, in numbers.
One of the more intriguing episodes in WJBC's news history occurred when it was learned that Mitsubishi was considering building a major auto plant in the Twin Cities.
I recall Dick Godfrey, who was the mayor of Normal at the time, a former reporter himself, came to the news media and said, privately, we're going to be bringing this car plant into town. We think we have an excellent chance at it. We think there will be thousands of jobs. We think that there will be not only jobs at the car plant, but at car plant providers and suppliers. And we think it'll be a great thing to advance our community. However, if you, as a reporter for the Pantograph or WJBC, say anything about this, Mitsubishi will pull out.
Steve Vogel was then WJBC's news director.
I believe that is not true. I believe they were misled by some community development people in Springfield about that because they wanted the local leaders' help in controlling the news media on this so nothing untoward would be said. The Pantograph cooperated fully. We took a slightly different route. We tried to work the story pretty hard, but it was at some risk because within the community, there were those who believed that we were apt to do harm.
Mitsubishi officials, by the way, have written a letter to Mayor Smart requesting more information about the Twin Cities and assuring him they're still interested in Bloomington Normal.
He wanted to thank us for our time going down to Springfield and talking to them on June 25th.
In fact, Bloomington Mayor Jesse Smart took exception to the Mitsubishi-related content of a WJBC forum, leading to this testy exchange with tenacious WJBC reporter L.P. Phillips.
Tell us a little bit how the meeting went without getting into details.
I can tell you how very, very disappointed we are, extremely disappointed with your management for allowing the forum of Emily Dundale to be aired on the day we're having this meeting.
I didn't even hear what you say.
We've had it with your radio station for today.
Have you?
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
How'd the meeting go?
What meeting?
Do you think you came to any agreement at all? I know you were in there probably.
Well, we agreed that it was very bad for WJBC to allow this forum to be aired on the day we're here. The Pantograph runs a nice editorial on Sunday. Very helpful. And WJBC airs a forum the day we're having our meeting, which tends to, do a little damage.
What did the forum say? I didn't hear it.
Go back and have them play it.
Okay, since I don't work with them and I don't even know what they said and stuff, tell me how the meeting went. Did it go as you expected?
Well, it was hard for me to tell when I was so upset when I got in town today and found out about that forum.
Okay. Forum aside.
Smart later apologized for his language, and Diamond Star Motors, as it was then known, came to Bloomington Normal anyway. WJBC's commitment to excellence continues. In 2002, WJBC won the Edward R. Murrow Award for Best Radio Newscast in the United States.
59 degrees and 130. Good afternoon. I'm R.C. McBride. There are three developing stories we continue to follow this afternoon. This morning's evacuation of Bloomington Junior High School. Will Cook will have an update on a new news conference just ended at District 87 headquarters. That's coming up momentarily. Also, as you just heard Keith mention, there's been a case of anthrax discovered in New York City. ABC's Karen Chase will have the details. But first, the McLean County Law and Justice Center has been sealed this afternoon because of an unspecific threat.
Metcom received a phone call from an unidentified truck driver and stated that there was a bomb threat in a courthouse. It didn't mention a specific courthouse. So as a precautionary measure, we did not evacuate the facility. We just are not allowing anyone in. We've checked the whole building. We haven't found anything.
We're joined now by WJBC's Beth Wisman, who is live at the McLean County Law and Justice Center. Beth?
RC, more than 50 people are basically hanging out here at the plaza outside the Law and Justice Center. Sheriff's deputies are blocking doors to visitors without any explanation. One couple is standing in formal clothes waiting to get married. Their entourage told me just now they'll stay here until the doors open, and they will be married by the end of the day. And no, the bride does not consider this a bad omen. Reporting live from the Law and Justice Center, Beth Wissman on the News Voice, 1230, WJBC.
And in 2004, WJBC won the Murrow's Overall Excellence Award for Best News Coverage in the Midwest.
You can smell the smoke when you walk in the lobby of the McLean County Law and Justice Center.
The first of several individual award meetings was held last night in Alderman Mike Matika's Ward 2, and the public was vocal.
What type of jobs it would create for the community? I'm undecided now.
I think it's going to be a great asset to the community. I'm for it all 100%.
I think it's a waste of money. I think that they should spend money on different projects.
And I think it is just too much for this town to absorb. I don't think we're ready.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bob Wilcox speaking for Colonel Harold Kindred from the offices of the Bloomington Livestock Commission Company. Colonel Kindred, like many of you, is in the fields today, but we'll be back with you for next Tuesday's report. At yesterday's auction...
Whether it's commodities updates with Paul Bates or Aaron Curtis, or agribusiness news with Marla Behrens or Art Sechrest, WJBC has always been on the farm.
So what are you going to do?
I'm just going to go up there and milk it, I guess.
Have you milked a cow before?
Never in my life.
You think it'll... You can do it, you know?
Yeah, everybody's been telling me how to do it, so...
So what have they told you? How do you do it?
Pull down and squeeze.
Well, she has the principles pretty well in hand.
And then there's the weather.
WJBC Spring-Tuned Weather.
Former president of Twin Cities Broadcasting, Richard Johnson.
You can go all the way back to, I'm going to say, the 1967-68 blizzard, whatever year that was, when Don Newberg was on the air for hours and hours, and they cut all commercials, and they just talked about the community, where was so-and-so, where was this person, and that was kind of the cornerstone that solidified what WJBC was to this community, and it just grew from there.
To me, it told me one thing, that you have a responsibility, you got to accept the responsibility, and you got to perform as best you can.
Even something as simple as announcing school closings was somewhat revolutionary.
It all started with a gentleman by the name of Ralph Happ Ahrens, who was the county superintendent of schools. And he came to us and he said one day, I think we need to find some way to let people know whether schools are going to be open or closed. Never given that any thought before. And he said, do you think we can do that? And I said, well, yeah, I think we can.
In the 1970s, WJBC developed the Century System to alert residents of approaching storms. Stu Salowitz.
We used to be able to turn on radios all over town. If people had bought a certain kind of radio and had it tuned to WJBC, then we would activate this Century System and it would come on. And with the horns blazing and whatever, and when there was severe weather.
The Century System was discontinued in the early 90s, but the tradition lives on. Today, listeners can sign up to receive free text messages from WJBC on their mobile phones and pagers when warnings approach McLean County. Former nighttime personality, Willis Kern.
JBC covers severe weather probably as best as it can be done.
Some damage reported in our listening area, and with us on the phone line is Carol Tyler of McLean County Emergency Services and Disaster Agency. Carol, can you tell us about the damage this evening?
Well, up to this point, we've had more damage reports from the Gridley area.
Don Newberg.
Marvelous. That's what radio's about. That's when it rises to its best.
We have reports of a tornado on the ground between Roanoke and Secor. We are joined again by Kevin Hankus at Emergency Services Headquarters in downtown Bloomington.
Right now, as the officials are kind of coordinating with Woodford County for whatever they have dealing up there.
Yeah, Roanoke right now is seeing this very violent rotation showing up on the radar. So there is very much likely a very large tornado that's occurring here. And unfortunately, there's no signs of this weakening as this is slowly moving to the southeast.
And we can see just a huge funnel. It's a huge funnel over across the river towards the Secor area coming out. I think it's one you guys have been talking about.
When
severe storms lashed central Illinois.
This was your place to turn.
The tornado warning remains in effect until 4:45 for McLean County.
For up-to-the-second updates on the progress of the storm.
Travel is still going to be almost impossible in many locations as these creeks and streams flood over.
For the latest information on damage in the area.
We're focusing on really public safety issues at this point.
And for updates on local power outages.
The height of the outage, about 6,000 customers have reported out for the Bloomington Normal area.
This is Central Illinois' Severe Weather Voice.
I wanted to call first and thank you guys for helping us out on the radio. You gave some pretty good information.
1230 WJBC.
The WJBC Morning Report with news from Alan Sender.
The news this morning presented by Baumgart Building Center and Lumber Lane. McLean County, Central Illinois, the whole state of Illinois this morning focused on the east side of Bloomington where the bodies of four family members were found late last night by Bloomington police.
Don Munson calls it Bloomington Normal's crime of the century. What came to be known as the David Hendricks case began late the night of November 8th, 1983. Former WJBC News Director Steve Vogel.
That was a story that we were not on to right away. The murder were discovered around 10 o'clock at night. We didn't know about it until about 2 or 3 in the morning. Once the police discovered the nature of the crime they had, they went silent on the radio. About 2 o'clock in the morning, Jim Brown, who was the overnight guy, called me and said, there's a multiple death situation not too far from where you live.
Alan, this is believed to be the worst multiple murder in McLean County history. A 30-year-old Bloomington woman and her three children have been slain, and authorities aren't sure they know who did it.
It was a kind of a coming of age, the type of coming of age you don't really ever want to have happen, because an axe murder of three children and a young mother and wife was something that didn't happen in Bloomington, Illinois. It happened in Chicago or Los Angeles or Houston or something like that, but not in McLean County, Illinois.
It was an inexplicable tragedy. Attempting to respect the emotions involved, WJBC's news team decided to wait before approaching the husband and father of the victims. But the afternoon after the murder, the Associated Press reported it had spoken to Hendricks, prompting Vogel to get Hendricks on the phone. Somewhat surprisingly, Hendricks readily agreed to a live interview on WJBC.
Mr. Hendricks has asked to talk to the news media, and he's on the telephone live with me now. Why do you think it's important that you talk to the media?
I mainly wanted to say to the people of this community that I love you, and I thank you very much for all the support that has come my way. It's been absolutely fabulous.
Because of the intense publicity, the trial was moved to Rockford. Vogel spent nearly 2 months there covering the case before the jury reached its decision.
Bloomington businessman David Hendricks was found guilty this afternoon of the murders of his wife and three children. WJBC's Steve Vogel has been in Rockford for the length of the trial.
Lori, it took the jury about 6.5 hours to deliver its guilty verdict.
By and large, the public believes if someone is arrested and indicted, he probably did the crime. But as the case unfolded, fewer people felt that way. I'm not saying that the majority still didn't believe that he was guilty. But then there was also a subset of people who believed that he may have done it, but they didn't believe the state had made the case and it proved him guilty. So, to a certain extent, it divided the community. And then, of course, when the state Supreme Court ordered a new trial, then it reopened some of those issues and wounds.
The Illinois Supreme Court overturned the Hendricks conviction in 1990, leading to a second trial, this one in McLean County, and this one with a different verdict.
There is a verdict now announced in the David Hendricks murder case. Let's go live to the Law and Justice Center. Here's WJBC's Adam Nielsen.
Steve, David Hendricks is a free man. The jury of 8 men and 4 women returned not guilty verdicts on all 4 counts of first-degree murder. Hendricks' family members jumped up and applauded. They were told to sit down and shut up.
And I can remember being in the hallway after David Hendricks was found not guilty and members of his family praying together sort of in celebration. It was a real dramatic moment.
WJBC's Colleen Reynolds was one of 3 reporters in downtown Bloomington when Hendricks was acquitted.
I have such a vivid memory of Howard Packwitz running after David Hendricks in the Lincoln Lot garage outside the Law and Justice Center, screaming, David Hendricks, this is Howard Packwitz from WJBC. Will you go on the air with us?
He is making his way away from reporters, apparently trying to stop interviews. David, we're live here. Could you please talk to WJBC? David has a smile on his face. We are now in the garage. I hope you can hear me. He is hugging his mother right now, Laverne Hendricks. Let's see if we can talk to David Hendricks. What's your reaction to the verdict? Tell us how you feel right now. You're a free man.
I'm pleased.
Tell us how you felt when you found out there was a verdict and then when it was actually announced.
Maybe overwhelmed is the word, but I don't even hear these questions.
Vogel would turn his account of the case into a national bestseller titled Reasonable Doubt, A True Story of Lust and Murder in the American Heartland. The book was recently put back in print, and more than 20 years after the murders, debate over Hendricks' guilt continues among longtime McLean County residents.
What do you want to buy? What do you want to pay? Downtown Bloomington has it every day.
Morning sports highlights presented by the Lander Van Gundy Agency, a full-service insurance agency.
I'm Don Munson reporting, and those contented coaches are Tom Cooper and John Snyder. Normal Community and Central Catholic High Schools opened their seasons with wins in the Intercity Tournament's first round at Horton Fieldhouse last night. For Cooper, it was a 62-57 Ironman win over Bloomington High, spoiling Bob Bender's local coaching debut. And it was a rough
one. Sports has always been an integral part of WJBC's programming and its service to the community. Former Illinois West head basketball coach Danny Bridges.
Probably the first broadcaster that I might remember really well was Bill Wahlberg. I know he did the last Illinois Wesleyan Illinois State game.
The Redbirds will pick him up man to man all over the floor. Gibson into Gramko. The clock starts. Gramko over the line to the circle. 20 footer. It bounds in. The Wesleyan Knights win. Gramko from the top of the circle. They're going wild. They're mobbing each other at center court.
An even bigger thrill for Bridges and Titan fans came in 1997 when Illinois Wesleyan won the NCAA Division III National Championship. Dick Lutke and Terry Brown had the call on WJBC.
Here's Moster, fires a three, and he missed that one. And the rebound, Matt Mann, now it goes to Niebuhrge, knocked out of bounds off of Niebuhrge. There's 1.6 seconds left. The Titans are going to win it. They're going to be the national champions. Moster puts it in play. Three by Ideas is good. At the buzzer, the final score, Wesleyan 89, Nebraska Wesleyan 86.
Another coup for Bridges was bringing future NBA star Jack Sigma to Illinois Wesleyan.
We had a connection. My sister went to Illinois Wesleyan, my older sister Suzanne, and I had applied. Somewhere in that application, I had to put my height, and I think from the admissions department, it got to Coach Bridges' desk, and he talked with my sister and came and saw me early.
Possibly the biggest figure in Illinois state basketball history is Doug Collins. WJBC's Steve Vogel traveled to Munich to cover Collins' trip to the 1972 Olympic Games.
How do you compare this Olympic competition with that of intercollegiate basketball in the U.S.?
Well, it's definitely rougher than the intercollegiate competition.
Are you looking forward to returning to ISU?
Definitely. I got one year left there, and I want to make the best of it this year.
He has scored all 8 points in this overtime period. A clutch performance like you've never seen. This is for the record. Good! Collins with 56 points. Second one. Good. Collins scores again. 57 points for the senior captain from Benton, the All-American.
WJBC's Jim Durham had the call the night Collins set the Illinois State single game scoring record. Durham went on to become the play-by-play voice of the Chicago Bulls. He's just one of the legendary sportscasters to man WJBC microphones. It's a list that includes Stretch Miller, Bob Starr, Vince Lloyd, and Denny Matthews. Art Kimball was Illinois' best-known high school play-by-play man when he joined WJBC in the early 1970s.
Illinois State basketball was big. They were a nationally ranked team two or three years in Independent. And of course, when Will Robinson came here, it was a huge story. The first black coach to go to a Division I school in the history of the game. I came here Will's second year and thoroughly enjoyed those years when Gene Smithson took over, and it was just a gangbusters basketball team.
High, the school scoring record set last year by Doug Collins. One more throw. He can break it right here with a minute and two left. Second throw is good! Bubbles Hawkins with a new record.
Galvin got good position on Larry Bird. Bird missed an incredibly easy shot for him. An 8-foot jumper wouldn't go down. Illinois State with the basketball. Here's Ronnie Jones. Jones shifts gears to the left baseline. circles out of traffic, changes directions on Ninchik, back to 15, bullseye, Ronnie Jones pours in a 15-foot jump shot. He's at an 8-point second half, 24-point ball game.
Vic Ludke joined the WJBC team in the 1980s.
Inbound pass to Neal. Now it comes to Terry Williams. 4 seconds left. Here's Richardson. He'll get the shot away. He missed it. Erg Wynn. ISU wins it. Richardson missed the baseline shot at the buzzer, and ISU prevails. Illinois State 49, Alabama 48.
It's the last time. Can you imagine the audacity of that sucker sitting in the back with a Bradley sweatshirt? That's the last time I ever want to see somebody in one of my press conferences with a Bradley sweatshirt. You're either the most arrogant guy that I've ever met in my life, or you're the dumbest I've ever met in my life, and I don't know which it is.
In announcing the decision to dismiss Donewald, Athletic Director Ron Wellman pointed to two areas. Wellman says the Birds have not been able to improve their record in the Missouri Valley in recent seasons. And, he says, Donewald has been reluctant to support departmental activities.
ISU head basketball coach Bob Donewald's war with Ludke and WJBC became the talk of the Twin Cities in the mid-80s. But Ludke was to have more memorable calls for the Redbirds under head coaches Bob Bender and Kevin Stallings.
Certainly remember the shot that ended the 1998 NCAA tournament win. Dan Muller scoring the winning basket against Tennessee, propelling the Redbirds into the second round of the NCAA tournament, which is as far as they've ever gotten.
Steve moving down the middle, puts on the brake, finds Rico Hill, goes to the left. Here's Kyle to Dan, layup, good.
Did it! Redbirds, they did it!
By one. Tennessee has the ball, shot at the buzzer, no!
They did it!
The Redbirds have won it. The Redbirds have won it. 82-81, Illinois State over Tennessee. Dan Muller with the winning basket, and the Birds are into the second round of the NCAA tourney.
Mark Johnson, who now calls games for the University of Colorado, came to WJBC in 1999.
All right, so Todd Berry, known as a gambler, and he's gambled down. Fourth down at six from the 19. Listen to that crowd. Four wideouts, two right, two left. Willie Watts, the running back. Burke retreats, looks downfield, throws downfield, jump ball, it's in the end zone. It is caught. It was deflected, and diving down is Jacob Neat, making the reception. What a play by the Redbirds!
Play. Give to Bryson across the timeline, two. In front court, pulls up from 40, jumpers up. Yes! Holy cow, what a shot! Tyrese Bryson from way downtown drains it from 40 feet, and we're going to overtime! Holy cow! I don't believe what I just saw!
And Greg Hallbly was tabbed as the voice of Redbird football in 2003.
Back to pass and Souza looks, has time, steps in the pocket, throws deep, looking for Dane Smith, and he has him out ahead of the secondary. 15-10-5, high steps into the end zone. Touchdown, Illinois State!
In the 1980s, WJBC became a leader in covering women's college sports. Former Illinois State women's basketball coach and pioneer in women's athletics, Jill Hutchison.
I think JBC was a forerunner to a large extent, and that's a credit to the people that were involved, from Don Munson to Dick Ludke to Art Kimball to the people that were here, you know, 20, 30 years ago that got involved with it. Because at the time, think about it, it was a risk. There's a lot of people that are out there thinking, why are you spending time on women's basketball when you could be covering da-da-da-da-da? So I really credit those people for embracing women's sports and realizing that its day had come.
After her coaching career ended, Hutchison joined R.C. McBride calling ISU basketball and volleyball on WJBC.
Shot off the glass, missed, tap back out, fight for it, Sora pulls it down with five, with four, Beth Houston's got to shoot a long three,
goal!
Houston puts the Birds on top. Northern Iowa, right side attack, dug out by Grubb, Rickley goes to Knowles, Knowles through the block and down, and the Birds have upended number 12,
High school sports have always been a big focus for WJBC. In fact, play-by-play men like Kurt Swearingen and Bruce Evans heard their names called on the air as players and grew up to take the mic themselves. Ludke Kimball and Gary Walter have all been recognized for their contributions to high school sports by being elected to the State High School Hall of Fame. But WJBC's coverage hasn't been all local. For more than 50 years, WJBC has carried baseball's St. Louis Cardinals.
Line drive!
Third baseman, no play, base hit, 3,000 for Lou Brock.
Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks. Go crazy. It's a home run, and the Cardinals have won the game.
Deep drive, center field, way back, grand slam, Larry Walker.
Tie yourself down. Tie yourself down.
The sound of year-round pleasure. WJBC, Bloomington.
To me, the most extraordinary thing about a radio station like WJBC that's been around for 80 years is the number of voices and number of events that people have heard or heard about through our radio station.
The only thing we have to
We are standing by to bring you the news of the reported operations against the
world will mark that the first atomic bomb was dropped.
I come to you with a message of leave-taking and
power. Ask not what your country can do for you.
This Civil Rights Act is a challenge.
Dr. Martin Luther King is in the Fred Young Fieldhouse. The crowd doesn't know it yet. He entered the back door, and there are a few offices there that he can stop and catch his breath in if he desires, or arrange his notes, or whatever he desires to do, which you'll be hearing from him very shortly.
You know, he was a very important person, but you didn't realize where he was going to stand in history at that time. You knew what was going on. You knew where he had been and what he had done. But, you know, history writes stories for you after the event.
Here's the applause now.
President Berthoff, members of the faculty and members of the student body of this great institution of learning, ladies and gentlemen, I need not pause to say how very delighted and honored I am to have the privilege of coming once more to campus of Illinois Wesleyan. With this faith, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the word, the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. Thank you.
This is Tom Jarrell. I'm in Memphis at the Lorraine Motel where Dr. King was shot tonight, apparently by a sniper.
That's one small step for man.
Standing in front of that blackboard at the Pantograph building over there to see whether I got elected or not by a very few votes, about 2,200, the first election in 1934.
Because people have got to know whether or not their president's a crook.
We had a pretty cantankerous relationship with the sheriff. He was under investigation by the feds and did not appreciate the types of questions we were asking. I literally remember one time going into the sheriff's department early one morning, fearful that I could be detained there. There was that much animosity between the sheriff's department and WJBC.
I believe that certain developments concerning the sheriff's office should be made known to the public. Agents from the Civil Rights Division of the U.S. Department of Justice are investigating members of the sheriff's police and myself.
In the 2.5 years that I've been mayor of Normal, done all the things that I can possibly do to attempt to improve the climate between our two governmental bodies. And I'm telling you now, I am through.
A full, free, and absolute pardon unto Richard Nixon.
It was a situation where both of us were new in the labor relations business, and we made some horrendous mistakes.
What did you do for social life at Eureka?
Well, just about what you would expect in a small college in a small town. A great many of the activities centered around the fraternity house.
The shuttle is still climbing, but there is a problem. What's happening?
Not a word from mission control. Everybody here is open now.
Controllers here looking very carefully at the situation.
Drought is something I would never go through again. The most frustrating situation I've ever faced. Whatever talent you had or whatever talent your staff had didn't mean a thing. There was nothing to do but wait for rain. And the public wouldn't accept waiting for rain.
Allied Air Forces began an attack.
I have concluded that I will offer myself once again as a candidate for the Illinois Senate in the 44th District.
An 8-vote plurality, were you thinking it would be this close?
I'm thrilled with it, Steve. This is yet another illustration of how important each and every vote is in our community.
The bombing in Oklahoma City was an attack on innocent children.
W. Bush now heading to our left up the tracks.
My great privilege now to introduce to you the next president of the United States, the Honorable George W. Bush.
Somebody said maybe we'd get some kind of crowd here when we came to Normal, you know? Maybe a couple of hundred people would show up. They misunderstood what's happening here in Illinois.
Alderman Vandengruber.
Yes.
Alderman Kitty.
No.
Alderman Crawford.
No.
Alderman Whaley.
Yes.
Alderman Schmidt.
No.
Alderman Matika.
Aye.
Alderman Finnegan.
No.
Alderman Sprague.
Aye.
Mayor Markland.
I'm proud to vote yes.
Dear WJBC, one of my school assignments is to write a paragraph that describes something I can't see. My subject is WJBC, because I can't see it, but I know it's always there. Can you help me? Signed, your friend, Jason.
That was a tough one, Jason, until we got some help from our listeners.
I really enjoy the interviews on WJBC. They really tax some interesting people.
Lots of fun. Lots of information, like to listen in the morning, gets me going in the morning, gets me to work on time, but it's a pleasant time.
I'd say good sports coverage and the weather, too.
WJBC seems friendly. All of the announcers seem to like each other, to enjoy each other's company, and they seem to like their listeners, too.
You're right, Jason. WJBC is hard to describe. There are a lot of ingredients, and they're in the air every day on WJBC.
This is Governor Jim Thompson. For 12 years now, Bloomington Normal residents have been entertained in the morning by a broadcasting legend in his own time. So on behalf of the 11 million people of the state of Illinois, I'd like to take just a moment to congratulate this man. Of course, I'm referring to my good friend Dave Mason. Dan McNeil. Don McNeil. No, that Breakfast Club guy. Munson. Don Munson. Okay.
This is Don Munson on East Washington Street. Would you believe we're really in the middle of a heat wave now? It's up to 43.
Don Munson arrived at WJBC from WKID Radio in Urbana in 1964 and stayed at WJBC until January of 2000.
I wasn't particularly ambitious as a broadcaster. I might have been had I not had such a great boss, Tim Ives, who was extremely generous to me and allowed me to raise a family and be very comfortable in Bloomington Normal. Plus, the community was responding so well to the radio station that while it was admittedly a small pond, for better or for worse, I was a relatively big fish on the radio in that small pond. So all of that felt pretty good. And I did try to leave here a couple of times within the first couple of years I was here in the 60s. But when I saw the conditions at other radio stations and the employment opportunities they offered, it just made me realize, and I'm not the only one, many JBC people have said the same thing in years since then, that when they realized what was going on in other radio stations and other markets, it caused them to appreciate all that much more what they had here.
During that time, Munson did a little bit of everything.
40 seconds! This is Don Munson reporting from Eastman Shopping Center's Mall, where we're in the last 40 seconds of Shakey's Freestyle Pizza Eating Contest. Three contestants representing three houses on the ISU and Wesleyan campuses are gorging themselves on cheese pizza. Behind him to Jackson, and a shot blocked by Talby, but a shot is taken by O'Connell. This one rolls off. Rath has it. Terry McGrail. Layup, good.
But he got a lot of pin action and gets eight pins off his spare. So he's 141 through 9, and he's got that very difficult 1-5 sitting in a tandem right behind each other.
It's a very tough spare to pick up, Bill.
Thanks a lot, Don.
To Mark to get 100.
And he's in the pocket backing up, and he got 7 pins, leaving the 2-4-5.
Now, this is a very important ball here, Bill.
Thanks a lot, Don. Allen with a 102. That's been recorded as 102, and Allen also has his hand up.
Now, you really should be able to pick this one up, Bill.
Thanks a lot, Don.
It's the 5th of December, 1862, Coffeyville, Mississippi, and the 4th Illinois Cavalry is in trouble. The Union forces are in retreat, and the rear guard Illinois outfit is providing cover, buying time for the blue. And one of McLean County's most popular citizens is riding up and down the line, rallying his troops. He's Lieutenant Colonel William McCullough, and he's already a veteran of the Black Hawk War, and more than a year of this one.
But it was his 35 years hosting Bloomington Normal's most listened to morning show that people most remember. Former WJBC President Richard Johnson.
I listened to Don years before I ever thought about coming to work for the radio station. In fact, a comment that I used to make is, and this is back in the 70s, 80s, a morning without Don Munson was like a morning without coffee. It just wasn't right. It didn't get your day started right.
Downtown in Bloomington, it's 44 degrees right now as we briefly change the mood.
Now, Lincoln Oil Service, your all-season comfort headquarters, presents the seemingly endless story of return to paper plate.
Good morning, McLean County. We're sort of sliding our way through Friday morning here, kicking off State Farm's 65th birthday celebration. Today's a rather interesting broadcast day for us, because after Friday afternoon's the oldies this afternoon, we'll switch out to O'Neill Park and do a couple of reports as the WJBC Corny Builders take on the Lady Hearts to open up that evening of softball.
Excuse me?
There.
You're not serious.
About doing live reports on it?
Yeah.
Sure we are. We're not going to do this in total anonymity. I mean, there won't be any play-by-play or anything like that. This will be after the Cardinals have won their second in a row from the Cubs earlier in the
You're not concerned
the
about the... Well, I'm going to ignore that, but you're not concerned about the quality being sacrificed in the broadcast day, then, are you? You're just going to...
Well, in any broadcast day, there are highlights, and then there are low points. This is a highlight.
We have one more, and I'm sure you'll be grateful, only one more surprise. It was courtesy of what's the older man's name walking in right here? Harold Bozard, I believe. He formerly the Bloomington Police Chief. And
Harold Bozard has presented me with a goat on my, I don't remember which birthday it was. He left the goat, and now he brings in the largest. Is this from your? I thought you had a goat farm.
I do. I've got goats, and I have geese also. Now, I've raised this one from an egg. His name is Donald.
That is the biggest goose I've ever seen.
But I'm going to give him to you for your birthday, just to show you I haven't forgotten you. Oh, here you are. Hey!
He seems like Barney Wonderly.
Yeah, he does sound like Barney.
Hope you can join us tomorrow. We'll do some more flashing back, looking ahead a little bit. Here on WJBC Bloomington, the spirit of McLean County, where our pal Ken Behrens checks in here at 9:05, take you through the rest of the morning. Have a good Thursday, Illinois. I'll see you bright and early around here tomorrow morning.
Munson's career spanned numerous changes. Changes in WJBC, Bloomington Normal, and American life. And early in 2000, Munson called it quits.
A great neighbor buckles down and helps get things done when something is needed in the community at large. A good neighbor is always good for a laugh over the back fence. And I think JBC has been all of that. I think it's been a great neighbor.
But his legacy lives on. WJBC's morning show, Lachlan and Reynolds, is still the highest rated show in the Twin Cities. And numerous other Munson initiatives are still going strong. The Brotherhood Tree, WJBC's Forum, and the Spirit of McLean County Award, just to name a few. In fact, that award given each year to the McLean County resident whose community spirit best symbolizes the spirit of McLean County was renamed shortly after Don's retirement.
It is now my pleasure, and with great pride, I present the year 2000 recipient of the WJBC Don Munson Spirit of McLean County Award to my friend, Don Munson.
My wife said this morning, when is this damn tour going to be over? Well, I'm privileged, I'm fortunate. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much.
The spirit of McLean County, WJBC.
the WJBC temperature at 746, 58 degrees. The news presented by Lumber Lane. Steve Ogle, Dwayne Moss.
Russ Eisenstein.
Lori Nelson.
Jay Grove.
Maria Henneberry.
Will Cook.
Mark Magliari.
Allison Kellstrom.
Chris Brathwaite.
Colleen Reynolds.
Abdul Shabazz.
Kevin Hankus.
Amanda Floyd.
Greg Hallblatt.
Adam Nielsen.
Beth Wussman.
Charlie Schling.
Red Pitchard.
Tyler Moody.
Jamie Monticelli.
Greg Faden.
Rich Egger.
From Washington, Hannah Gutman.
Reporting from the McLean County Law and Justice Center, Howard Packowitz.
Art Sakris.
I'm Mala Dan.
Josh St. Peter.
WJBC News.
WJBC News.
WJBC News.
WJBC.
One of the things I've learned is that people are people. They're all fascinating. It doesn't make any difference if they're a big star, if they're a baseball player, if they're an actor or whatever. Lots of people have stories to tell. They all contribute to the world, you know, and a lot of the people that you don't give any credit to at all that are just assumed to be there play more of an important role than some of the people that are making the big bucks.
Hi, this is Carl Reiner, and we are lucky because we are tuned to the Ken Barron Show.
Hey, if he says it, who am I to argue? Hi, this is Ken Barron's, and I've been lucky enough to talk with some of the great
Monday through Friday at this time, WJBC presents Your Question, Please. An opportunity for you, the listening audience, to talk to experts in the community and ask by telephone Your Question, Please.
Gene Lyle was a man of faith who took a suggestion to begin some journalistic approaches to the subject of religion, develop the feature Religion in the News.
Good morning, I'm Gene Lyle with WJBC's Religion in the News.
Gene was a gentle guy who believed very strongly in WJBC, went about his business, usually very quietly.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's Afternoons with Ebus on 1230 WJBC on a beautiful fall day in the Twin Cities.
It's in the dead of the night with Bones, your old buddy, and the nighttime is 16 minutes before 4 o'clock.
Partly sunny this morning. That is, of course, once the sun rises. When is sunrise? Did I have that here? Eh, it's laying around somewhere.
Have a good morning. Keep your dial at 1230. With Ken Ritter here on WJBC Radio.
Finest music Ken will play. So why don't you plan to stay right here with the Ken Ritter Show.
It's a new beginning with work, my darling. So pull up your underwear, batten the hatches, baby. Put your shoes on, your hose on, and know that you're made out of good stuff, and you can do it.
Thank you.
Hey, Marge?
Yes?
Don't pull your underwear up too tight. It gets uncomfortable, though, okay?
Okay.
Thanks. See you later.
He's bad today, Marge.
I'm honoring today, I guess.
Every day's a fun day, especially Saturday and Sunday. When you're going places with WJBC Bloomington. I'm Todd Weinberger.
Hi, this is Scott Lachlan.
I'm R.C. McBride.
And I'm Jim Williams.
Hi, this is Steve Fast.
Hi, this is Steve Breenan. Make sure you join us Sunday morning from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. We'll get you going right.
And being on the other side of the microphone is a rather unique experience. And because I still find myself having to answer questions, only the questions are not coming from the news. They're coming from the listeners, which is what this station's all about. It is not about me. It is not about you. It is not about Red Pitcher. It's about our listeners. And in that realm, it was the same as when I was sheriff. It was not my office. It was on loan to me from the owners, who are the people of McLean County.
Get out of bed, you sleepy head. Time to be up and away. Get up and smile, musical style. WJBC starts the day. Music that stops, oldies and pops. News and time on 1230. Start the day right. Everything's bright here on Bob Starr's Timekeeper Show.
Okay, let's start the tape.
All we hear is Radio Gaga.
Is there anything that you've always wanted to say on the radio but never had your chance?
I've always wanted to say probably can't say it. We'll cut that part out.
He definitely checked me out when I walked in. Cased me, kind of, I think.
Maybe he took a shine to you.
No, I'm not saying that. No, I mean, he definitely.
Because you're never too old for that, you know.
We mentioned the fact that R.C., who's normally here, came down with the chicken pox. And have you had him?
I hope so.
This studio may be
infected.
Crawling with it because...
No,
come to think of it, Dan Sweeney's son had chicken pox.
I'll take the chickens home with the fleas.
Do you have a question or comment for Larry?
Excuse me, I have the wrong number.
Oh, okay.
So go away.
Let's try it again. Hello.
This is Don Munson at WJBC. I've just told your wife that we drew your name out of the hat this morning from among more than 100,000 entries, and you have won our great escape trip to Las Vegas later this month.
Okay.
You can hear me fine. I can hear you fine. I can hear you perfectly.
Your in-laws right there in the room with you right now?
Yeah.
We've got a pretty good story concocted that would get you out of there within 5 or 10 minutes.
Oh, I don't think that'll be necessary.
Oh, you don't have to talk like that just because they're in the same room. You can let on what you're talking about. It's not that big a deal. You're just kidding around anyway, weren't you?
Well, sure. Sure was.
Maybe he wasn't kidding.
I was groping for a chair.
Are you having a nice Thanksgiving?
Yes, thus far I am.
Go ahead. Say it out loud. I mean, say it so that if they're listening to your end of the conversation, we're having a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah, use the word great.
Great. Yeah, it was a great parade.
No, just say it out loud because they're listening to your end of the conversation. Say we're having a great Thanksgiving over here in Macomb.
Well, okay, then if that's the way you feel about it, then sure, fine.
We'll see you Monday.
I beg your pardon?
And allow me a moment, if you will, to thoroughly dispel those despicable and glaringly inaccurate suggestions made over this usually reliable radio station by you, Don Munson, and by Steve Vogel, who suggested that I was in any way interested in departing from my mother-in-law's and father-in-law's household even a nanosecond earlier than absolutely necessary.
WJBC.
What call from Marty Wells, we accept?
I want to know about the baseball.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Okay.
What do you want to know?
I want to know if it's canceled and where is it?
No, they're playing.
Where?
I don't know. Call the Legion office.
What's the name?
I don't have it. Look it up.
Fine, I'll get it.
Bye.
What was your problem again?
There are two dogs here in the parking lot at one point surrounding the van. I wasn't sure whether it's safe to get out, but now these two dogs are moseying away. They're probably visible now outside the newsroom window.
Describe these dogs. Are they like big dogs? Are they like Doberman dogs? They're like poodle dogs? What kind of dogs are we talking about?
They look like mutts with spots all over them.
See any foam or spittle around their mouths?
Negative.
In the compiling of the information that you based your studies upon, how did you get or compile your source of information? Sex information, that is.
I'm not sure what the question is.
Well,
I mean, we explained how we got our sample and so on. What exactly do you want to know?
The sources of the sex information as such. Did you base it upon just this one college group as such in college, the incoming freshmen? Or what I'm trying to get at is how did you... You gather the questions together in the instrument itself.
What can I do for you? Hello? Hello?
A 23-inch diagonal measure screen gives you a full 295 square inches of viewable picture. Regular $259.95, now only $428. those serious folks will really sock it to you, Commander.
Well, thanks for calling.
You've got the spirit in Illinois. WJBC.
It's a participatory experience, you know, with this radio station. It isn't just something that we hear and it's behind a glass wall. It's something that we can interact with. And I think that has established a friendship and a good feeling between the public and what goes on inside the building.
That's former WJBC Promotions Director and current Bloomington Mayor Judy Markowitz talking about WJBC's community involvement. The spirit of McLean County was WJBC's slogan for two decades, and that spirit has always been WJBC's cornerstone. The station's been involved in countless events over the years. Some are one-time happenings, others become annual traditions. In the former category is the WJBC Welcome Home Vets Parade held in 1987. Don Munson.
It took us a while to understand that we just didn't treat these people right, who were just trying to be of service to the rest of us. We sent them into a lousy situation. So that was the time when the Vietnam local chapter was organized, and they were raising money for the Vietnam and Korean Veterans Memorial that's now there in Miller Park. We helped them do that, and we culminated all that with a with a parade. And I remember describing that parade coming up Main Street north of downtown Bloomington that day. And I can remember the only thing I can ever remember describing something on the air live with the tears running down my face. It was just that emotional to all of us on the sidelines. And I can only imagine what it must have been like to all those veterans who were marching that day.
Alan Sender.
I remember being sick as a dog, but really wanting to be there. And it was just a fantastic occasion for the community, brought the community together. And again, one of those things that JBC was so essential in doing for this community.
Topping the list of WJBC's annual rituals is the Brotherhood Tree.
We moved to this building, to the current JBC studio building, in 1970, leaving studios downtown over the Castle Theater. So we were sort of out in the middle of nowhere with not a lot of furniture in the building. As we approached that first Christmas, I was talking with our receptionist, Marianne Dillman, who later became a supervisor here in Bloomington. And we were discussing how lousy our Christmas tree looked in that great big lobby. We didn't have any decorations and certainly nothing under it. So we decided we'd each bring a couple or three things or just wrap up a couple of boxes and put bows on them and put them under the tree. And then somebody suggested, it was probably her, if we're going to do this, then let's put something in those packages, and maybe after Christmas or right before, we can deliver it to some folks who need it. And we did that. And I think from that first day, we decided that the Brotherhood Tree just sounded like a pretty good name for it. People will explain this to their kids, and they'll explain sometimes that when I was younger, my mom and dad brought me to the tree, and I put a gift under the tree. I've seen that, and I imagine we're well into our third generation of people who are doing that now.
Janae Jantry coordinates all of WJBC's promotions.
One thing that's different with ours is that we don't have any paperwork for people to fill out. There's no proof of need with our program. If people ask for help, they receive help. It's one of those projects that becomes a part of your life. It's just not Christmas anymore until you go down to the armory and the barber shoppers are singing and people are wrapping and sorting gifts. And that's what makes it Christmas now for us and for my family.
The event has grown every year. In 2003, thanks to the tireless efforts of volunteers and the unending generosity of the Bloomington Normal community, the WJBC Brotherhood Tree provided gifts for 5,800 McLean County residents.
On September 11th, 2001, terrorists crashed into the World Trade Center.
In an apparent terrorist attack on our country.
This is a day that American citizens will never forget. But out of this tragedy came unity, because you, the citizens of McLean County, banded together and helped raise needed money for the American Red Cross.
The crowd went crazy to hear the figure, and even after, it grew to nearly 779,000.
Words will never be able to express the generosity that you, the citizens of McLean County, have shown.
My job is to come up with words to describe scenes that I'm watching, and I found myself being unable to come up with any words to describe what I'm seeing out here.
An act of terrorism has united strangers into one community to help fellow Americans in a time of need.
Well, Uncle Sam gave us back a rebate of $600. We gave the entire thing to the Red Cross.
From all of us at Radio Bloomington and The Voice, 1230 WJBC, thank you.
This is live coverage from ABC News. I'm Jim Hickey. An airplane has crashed into the upper levels of one of the twin towers of the World Trade Center in Lower Manhattan in New York. A tremendous amount of smoke is billowing.
The morning of September 11th, 2001, when terrorists attacked the United States.
And we probably should repeat, just so anybody's just now joining us, two planes have hit the World Trade Center in New York City.
Trisha's on line one. Hi, Trisha.
Well, I was watching the news, and I saw, you know, they broke in to show that there was smoke coming from the first tower, and I was watching the TV when the second plane hit the other tower.
It's amazing.
So were we. It was very disturbing.
Yeah, we saw the same thing. It was...
They just had unconfirmed reports. I don't know if you've reported this, that there was an American Airlines jet hijacked and purposely crashed.
And see, this
and
is...
And then a second unconfirmed report of another airline.
Right, and those
hijacked.
Are unconfirmed. They're unconfirmed, but that did look like a jet.
It was
that. We all
thought it was a 737.
As the day wore on and people tuned in for the latest on what was happening, WJBC and sister stations WBNQ and B104 sent out every member of the building's on-air staff to report to listeners how McLean County was dealing with the tragedy. Colleen Reynolds.
And I don't think we've ever done that quite that way before. Maybe severe weather occasionally we'll have somebody who's not a news person or not an air personality call in with some spotter report, but never have we used people the way we did that day, just to make sure that we were keeping our community informed on the local impact of that huge national story.
WJBC Station Manager and Promotions Director Janae Gentry.
It was so important because people had so many questions. What's happening in the schools? What's happening at the post office? What's happening at City Hall? What's happening at the airport?
WJBC carried ABC's ongoing coverage of the attacks, but broke away for 10 minutes each half hour for local updates.
This is continuous team coverage of Attack on America on WBWN Leroy Bloomington, 101.5 WBNQ Bloomington Normal, and The Voice 1230 WJBC Bloomington.
I'm R.C. McBride in the newsroom here at Radio Bloomington, and we'll get you back to our continuing coverage of this morning's tragedies from ABC News here in just a few moments. But again, we want to bring you up to date on everything that is happening locally, and there is a lot as far as our reaction as a community to this morning's attack on America. We do want to check in once again with Beth Westman. She is at Bloomington Police Headquarters.
Police Chief Roger Aiken is asking citizens to keep a cool head today.
Try not to panic. There's no need to panic. There's no need to run around and stockpile food or anything else.
The mood in Bloomington Normal can be described in two words: quiet shock. At the Walmart Supercenter in Normal, dozens of people crowded around a portable television with an antenna. Cars in the parking lot blaring the radio, listening for more information.
We had a report earlier this morning about activities on the Illinois State University campus. We want to check in at Illinois Wesleyan University as well. We have spokesman Stu Salowitz on the line with us.
It is a shocking situation, to say the least. It's been very quiet on campus, I've noticed.
What's going on at some of our local schools this morning? For that, we check in with our WBNQ morning team, Susan and Phasic.
Well, right now we have a man who knows a lot about what's going on. We have Dr. Robert Nielsen, who's of course the superintendent of District 87.
First of all of our schools are going to be in session for the regular school day. Parents can come and pick the children up if they want to take them home. They will be excused absences. But at this point, we are going to try as best we can to run school as normally as possible.
Ken Keller has been at the Central Illinois Regional Airport for much of this morning. And Ken, I assume you still remain in a lockdown situation there.
Yeah, R.C., that's right. A large truck, traffic cones, and security tape are blocking access to the Central Illinois Regional Airport terminal right now for people trying to get in here.
The list of church services throughout the area, special vigils and services that have been scheduled for this evening, that list has now grown to a page and a half.
On September 12th, the question on the minds of the WJBC and Radio Bloomington staff was, what can we do? It was decided that staff members would set up at a public location with heavy traffic, the Schnook Store in Bloomington, and encourage listeners to drop off donations for the Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund. The goal was to raise a few thousand dollars.
It did start out as, let's set up a table and a couple of chairs outside of Schnook's and see what happens. And it, from that very simple idea, came this community gathering point that, when all was said and done and all of the checks came in weeks later, ended up raising about $1 million for people in New York. And for a town this size, for a town any size, that's just an incredible show of generosity.
What started out as a one-day fun drive turned into a four-day community event that wrapped up the following Saturday.
And it was just such an outpouring. I think what was so much more important even than the money that was coming in was the fact that people would come out, drop off a check, and then not leave. It kind of became the community's place to go. People would stay, and they would talk, and they would comfort each other, and, you know, just share stories about what their day had been like the day before, and friends and family that they knew in New York. And it really became a focal point for the community that day, to come out to Schnook's and drop off a donation, but also to just feel like they were a part of the community. And I think we felt it was so important to people that we needed to stay out there longer, because people needed to tell their stories. They needed to talk to each other. And, you know, we wanted to let them do that.
Radio Bloomington General Manager Red Pitcher.
I think it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and I think it galvanized our staff here at the radio station. And even though it was a terrible event for our country, it for WJBC, once again, proved that JBC was the glue, really, of McLean County as far as bringing people together for a common cause and carried on that long tradition that JBC had in this community.
McLean County Chapter of the American Red Cross, the Disaster Relief Fund, and at Radio Bloomington, you have been remarkable. Central Illinois, now you raised $759,000.
State Illinois' largest news staff with local and national news at the top and bottom of the hour, every day. The Voice, 1230 WJBC.
Joining us on the phone, State Senator Dan Rutherford. It is illegal to feed squirrels in the state of Illinois. Have you ever, sir, fed a squirrel?
I have put out bread in my backyard for the stray cat across the street. And you know what? I've seen a squirrel eat it. So I think by implication, innocent defense, I have.
That is the equivalent of saying I smoked but didn't inhale.
Yeah.
All right. I put out the crackers and the squirrel ate
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Guilty.
Do you remember when they used to have the gambling segment on the pregame show?
Jimmy the Greek Snyder.
Sure. They would always just pull out these statistics. Chicago had never beaten Minnesota since they moved into the Dome on an odd number day. And I would sit there and I would watch and say, what possible bearing and relevance does that have on the teams playing today?
You thought that as a youth watching all this?
Yes.
I was just undressing Jane Kennedy mentally as a kid.
Oh, Derek? She was in Springfield lobbying to save the horses.
It worked.
It did. She was successful. If you ever have an issue that you need to get taken care of in Springfield, call Bo Derek. She must have something.
That stuff always works, and I don't know why.
What, sex?
No, exactly. That was B. Arthur. That wouldn't.
Greg, do you do a good Dick Vitale?
Get him to rock, baby!
How's that? Colleen, how about you? Try your best, Dick Vitale.
No, I can't. It's not in
Come
me.
Come on, just try.
No.
You know, that's why people have clubs, and girls aren't allowed. You refuse to have any fun.
Now, Scott says that his dog does a funny trick.
Oh, my dog will propel himself with his front paws and drag his rear end across the driveway occasionally.
I go talk to your veterinarian.
Oh, really? That's not a trick?
That's a medical problem, isn't
That's
it?
Correct.
Wow. I think it's an important seat, and the Republicans would have done everything they can to get the focus on the issues and not on this. And with a 20-point lead,
I agree
they would
Scott.
Have waited for the polls. They would have waited and waited.
Well, I
waited.
Have to disagree with both of you.
You know what, then? You're wrong. Would you rather have the power to read minds or have the power to make anyone fall in love with you?
I'm reading control. Scott's mind right now, and there's nothing in there. You can't find anything.
Huh?
You never wear the black shoes.
I always wear my black
no,
shoes.
No, you don't.
Well, now she's telling me what I wear and what I don't.
Well, she tells me what I am.
She tells you what you're thinking. What? Concentrate real hard, Colleen, and I don't think you have to concentrate that hard. Can you tell what I'm thinking right now?
Lachlan and Reynolds, morning, 6 till 10, on The Voice, 1230 WJBC.
WJBC. Showers, thunder showers, a possibility again today, 87 for the high. 72 right now at WJBC with Lachlan and Reynolds, and joined in the studio now by a couple of wily old veterans of this radio station, Don Munson, who was morning man here for more years than he'd like to admit, and Don Newberg, who was his boss back in the 60s and also spent some time here. Don Newberg, Don Munson. Well, we bring you here under sad circumstances, and that's the passing of Tim Ives yesterday.
I'm thinking of Tim Ives coming back to Bloomington after serving in the Korean War and helping his Uncle Adlai in his presidential campaigns. But basically, he came back here in order to get involved in the family business, which happened to be newspapers and particularly radio stations.
Yep. The Pantograph had sold half of their interest in the radio stations, which at that time were WJBC, AM, and FM.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on the sales staff. I came on the programming side. He quickly assimilated me into the community. To know people that he knew in the community and helped me tremendously with the understanding of the community and how it went.
And you know, there was an ongoing mentoring system.
And
much what you just said, the things that you learned from Tim Ives, or many of them, you passed on to me. And when Steve Vogel showed up on the scene, I passed some of them on to Vogel, who passed them on to Alan Sender, who passed them on to Lori Nelson Lachlan, who passed them on to Colleen Reynolds, and Colleen now has passed them on to Jamie Monticelli, you, and I mean, it's an interesting string. But a lot of it goes back to the grace and community awareness, community responsibility that Tim Ives instilled, sort of down the line.
Before I walked in here, in the back of the Tribune, there's a big ad in the business section yesterday or today. I'm not sure which day. Community Appreciation Week. And I thought, how appropriate. Here's a guy who gave so much back to this community and did so many things for this community, unbeknownst to a lot of people.
I said that earlier this morning. I was surprised, shocked, going through some paperwork yesterday, looking at all the things, all the pies he had his fingers in, all the things that we enjoy today due to this guy. I never knew. I never knew, and I worked in the building with him for years.
Well, he was that kind of guy.
He went about it very quietly. Yeah, he found a way to get things done.
And really, it's what it is today because of him. Because he came, he left at a time when the big corporations were taking over and a lot of radio stations around the country, a lot of radio stations around Central Illinois got away from that local programming and became what we call in the business a cookie-cutter operation. One station sounded like the next and sounded like the next. He didn't allow that to happen even with the sale of these radio stations.
That's a very important point because as we expanded, he made sure that we didn't become the WJBC of whatever market we were going into. It was go in, take a look at that marketplace, determine what it is that's needed in that marketplace, and where we've got a place to fit in that marketplace.
We're talking with Don Newberg and Don Munson sitting here just sharing some stories about Tim R. Ives, who passed away yesterday. Tim, really the man that brought WJBC and this group of radio stations into the modern day era.
Well, he was very proud of this radio station. I know that for a fact.
We have Tim Ives to thank for a lot of things in McLean County. Besides this radio station, we addressed it a little bit in our news stories about him, but he was just connected with so many recreational and business ventures in town. It was pretty amazing.
And there's a great group, a large group, an exceptionally large group of JBC alums who continue to live in the community. I think that speaks well of the community. They've decided to stay here. But we also should remember it speaks well of Tim Ives, and that is that he caused these people to want to stay here either for the rest of their careers or until some other business, State Farm or somebody else, hired them away. They didn't leave for, many of them did not leave for bigger radio markets.
I know one example. You had people with established roots in the community that came and wanted to work for him. And Judy Markowitz is one who was here when you were here, Don. Yeah. She was the head of the promotions department here.
Right. He attracted a lot of interesting people. He was a wonderful man, and his legacy is this radio station, but it's far more than that. There are a lot of things both seen and unseen in the community that are part of his legacy.
I'd heard about JBC when I first came to town, but I didn't realize just how strong the station's presence was. If people talk about radio, and this is not to knock the other stations in any way, they think in terms of WJBC as the radio station. When you hear people saying, I heard it on the radio, they mean WJBC.
I think the secret to the success of WJBC is being in touch. They have stayed in touch with the public, and they have allowed people to have direct contact with their call-in shows. They allow people still, through their forums and commentaries, to give their opinions on issues, and it's like an open mic.
Well, it's an institution. You know what I mean? When you listen to WJBC, I think trust. The power goes out somewhere. And people call and say, my power's out. And you say, who's your provider? And they tell you. And then you say, have you called them? And they pause because they haven't. They called us to find out why the power's out. And often we know. Sometimes we are just learning about the outage. But that does put a certain amount of pressure on you to think, wow, people really are coming here. As if we are the source of all knowledge.
I think it's really remained a great radio station because the traditions that began a long time ago with an understanding that community radio has to be about information and public service and good entertainment have been passed along through the generations. We've had some great people going way back in history who worked at this radio station, people who set the bar high, and they pass that along to the younger generation. And as we keep coming up, you know, we keep trying to raise the bar even higher. And I think that's why we're a better radio station today than we were when I first got here, because it seems as though every generation sets the bar a little bit higher, thinks about how can we do it better.
You know, look at the history of it. It's McLean County. It has its own special little niche inside the city and the county, and you know, it's nationally known. It's WJBC. I mean, what else can you say? It's people who are true Bloomingtonians and Normalites, and people in McLean County know that they have a place that they can go on the radio that is pretty much exclusively theirs. And they still have a voice in what happens. They're never much further than a phone call away to express their thoughts. And I think they've just been so in tune with what people are talking about and doing that they've ingrained themselves into the tapestry of the city. It's WJBC.
I think there's something about joining a team. WJBC has that reputation throughout the country. They recognize WJBC as a unique radio station. It's because of the people. The people recognize it's going to take longer hours, that it's going to take more of a commitment to work here than it will in most radio stations or most jobs. This isn't the best paying business in the world. Sometimes it's the least fair business in the world. But it is a truly rewarding business, and those who commit to WJBC carry that on. Those kinds of people commit to the community and commit to the excellence that WJBC has strived for.